from the Director Department of Transportation and the Managing Director of Milwaukee County Transit System submitting an informational report regarding the use of paper transfers on MCTS buses. Informational only unless otherwise directed by the committee.
Mr. Chairman, Mr. Dan Boehm, our Chief Administrative Officer, is joining me and is providing each of you with a handout to help illustrate some of the items that I will be describing in my report to you. While he's doing that, I'll continue, Mr. Chairman.
Go ahead.
The automated fare collection system that is currently in the design phase is expected to be operational by year-end 2013. This report is intended to update you on the outcome of our efforts to determine whether it is possible to discontinue the use of paper transfer slips before that system is in place. We set out to determine how we could eliminate paper transfer slips in a way that takes care of the problems that we're experiencing on our buses with paper transfers, satisfy customers and drivers, and is done in a way that does not increase costs for the transit system. Now, with the input of our labor union, we looked at several alternatives. The first two options were two different versions of what we refer to as a day pass or all-day pass. The first page of your handout shows you on the left side of the sheet the all-day pass, which is very similar to our weekly pass. The key is the date changes from day to day. And we looked at printing a pass similar to that to mimic our weekly pass. The second option is to sell what is our current paper transfer slip, which is on the right side of the example that you have. Currently, those slips are distributed on buses by the drivers to customers as they board the bus, either paying cash or either paying their fare by cash or by tickets. And lastly, rather than yes, I'm sorry. Lastly, rather than the third option that we looked at, rather than replace the paper transfer slip with an all-day pass, we considered the possibility of eliminating the paper transfer slips by lowering the fare. So those are the three alternatives that we looked at. In short, management concluded that these alternatives were not viable because they add new and costly challenges to the transit system, and I'll try to go into that in brief. I'll point you to page 2 of the report. Where we project the degree to which ridership and revenue is impacted by changes in our fare policy. It's important, I want to mention that it's important to know that under the MTCS fare structure, when cash fares are lowered, ticket fares and pass fares are also lowered because our fare structure includes a discount on those fares. So the tickets and passes are discounted in relation to the cash fare. So if you make an adjustment in one, you make an adjustment in the other under our current fare structure. So that is accounted for in our projections. Also, we took into account the fact that paratransit fares would also need to be reduced as the cash fare is reduced. Federal rules require that the paratransit fare not exceed twice the fixed route fare. Now, by way of example, we included lowering the cash fare to $1, which is shown in the table on page 2. And that was a suggestion that we were asked to consider by the labor union. In that case, lowering the cash fare, which is currently $2.25, to $1, and tickets, which are currently $1.75 to $2.75, we would, in fact, achieve our goal of eliminating paper transfer slips because simply they would be out of the picture. But from our perspective, in our review of this, we think that many new issues will be created. On the upside, under the dollar cash fare, fare structure. Ridership is projected to increase about 5.6 million boardings annually. Now, that's good news, but at the same time, operating costs would increase because in order to accommodate that increase in ridership, we have to have more buses, more drivers, more fuel, more maintenance. For the most part, we did find that ridership does increase positively, but a decrease in fares means a decrease in revenue needed to operate the transit system. So on the downside, in the case of Loring, the cash fare to $1 revenue is projected to decrease by $12.4 million. Now that raises a difficult question of how do we make up that loss in revenue that's needed to operate the transit system. I also mentioned that we took into consideration that we estimate about 19,000 riders per day actually pay their fare either in cash or by use of tickets. So under a reduced fare structure, their costs would actually increase in most cases if we eliminate the paper transfer slip, because each time they board the bus, they must either pay cash or they must put another ticket into the fare box. So based on these findings, management is recommending that we stay on the present course to discontinue the paper transfer slips in conjunction with the changeover to the smart card system that is anticipated to be up and operational by year-end 2013. We also certainly will continue our close collaboration with law enforcement to deter poor behavior on our buses. We're looking to move forward with installing protective shields on the buses as soon as possible. Certainly, we will continue to maintain a high level of security presence on the buses, and that is our security officers riding the buses, which they do today. About 70% of their time is spent on the buses. And we will continue to work with labor to encourage our drivers to follow our established security protocol at all times. So, Mr. Chairman and committee members, this report is informational, and I can address any questions that you may have at this time. I'm sorry, Mr. Chairman. Okay.
For each person, when they come up, you have 3 minutes to state your comments. Ms. Walker.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, and everyone on the board. We thank you for having us and having this meeting today. We have, as a union, I know that we've brought the issue of paper transfers and the difficulties that they cause our drivers. I know we've had several discussions with some of you personally about the issues that we're facing. I've also prepared rebuttals to everything that we've provided, because the sheet that Mr. Grant was referencing is the one that he presented to us. So if anyone is interested in that, I can make sure I can email those to you. We have a problem with these things on the bus. These are a safety concern. Transfers get us hit. Transfers get us spit on. Transfers get us threatened. Drivers have had enough, which is why we're here in force today, representing everybody else who couldn't make it. We're simply asking for the ability to do our job. It is very hard to do what we do under threat. And no one here, I'm sure, has to endure working conditions like that. We're asking that these be made a day pass. Not only do, and I'm sure a lot of you already know this because we talked about it, I ride the bus. I'm a passenger and I'm a driver. Our drivers are the front line for everything that comes at us out there. We have no protection, regardless of what the company is telling you. There is no one out there that is protecting us. To take these out of our hands, as for making us have to be the ones to deal with them directly, other than, you know, folks coming on looking at them, would be an added safety measure. Every passenger that I have polled on the idea of the dropped fare and using these as a day pass, you would rip off the whole thing, sell it for maybe 3.25 at venues that are currently selling passes and tickets. We're not trying to reinvent the wheel. Everyone that I have polled supports the idea. So all we're asking this board to do is give us the consideration of really seriously looking at the issues that we're facing, driver assaults that we're facing, verbal assaults that we're facing every day that we're out there at work. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, Supervisors, thank you. Once again, we're here pleading our case of the safety of our operators. Our operators are out there on a daily basis being verbally abused. The chance of physical abuse is really high with the misuse of the paper transfers. It's a piece of paper that is used by the public now any way they want. They'll come on a bus when it should be a full transfer, it's a partial transfer. And if the operator questions that, they either get just threatened or, again, they get spit on or there's a chance of a physical assault. The money that MCTS loses on a daily basis from talking to our operators and doing our own surveys among our operators is approximately $10,000 per day that they lose on the misuse of paper transfers. You pay $2.25 for this transfer. You can use it multiple times, so your ride now, even if it's twice, is down to $1.12. So you're not losing the full $2.25 if you eliminate these. You're actually losing 12 cents on every ride. The problem with these are that if I get one as a passenger, I pass it to the person behind me, they pass it on to the next person. Or they take these on the street and they sell them for 50 cents. When they get on a bus, now you lost all that revenue. So our numbers indicate around $10,000 in loss of revenue per day on these paper transfers. And if you talk to the operators behind us, they'll have a lot of stories to tell you on how they've done their surveys and how many transfers they see on a daily basis that's misused and people just not wanting to pay their fares. What happens on the customer that wants to pay, that pays their fare on a regular basis, then they question the operator, why do they get on for free or a half fare or a no good transfer, and I have to pay my $2.25. That's not fair to the passengers that are willing to pay the fare legally. So we're opposed to a lot of that, and our main goal is the protection of our operators. Our operators cannot be out there anymore being assaulted. On a daily basis, they're assaulted multiple times a day verbally. You've seen a lot of the assaults, the physical assaults on the news. It's terrible what's going on out there. Yes, we talk about safety shields. That's going to help. We're all in agreement. But the use of these paper transfers are putting us at risk, and we have to stop it. Thank you.
Good morning, Supervisors. Thank you. The story I have is we had an operator on one of our routes. There was a gentleman that got on the bus. I can't call him a gentleman, but a guy that got on the bus and grabbed all the transfers to steal them. They were chained in. He ran like this, and his arm got pulled back because he couldn't take the transfers off the bus. People on the bus started laughing. He turned around and punched the operator right in the temple. This is a clear story of why we need to get rid of these transfers. I saw the videotape and it was horrendous, and I'm sure the people behind me have a lot more stories, but that's the one I witnessed myself in the video. Thank you.
Thank you, Herb.
Forbes, chairman over the safety of the bus drivers. It's kind of difficult coming behind these speakers because it almost seems like everything that I was going to speak about has already been said. It's very difficult coming behind these individuals. However, I do know repetition is what sometimes is needed to get things done. The issue of transfer, this is nothing new. Members such as myself, I've been with the bus company over 16 years. People like Macon behind me and other members of this local. We've been trying to get transfers eliminated for more than 15 years. So this is nothing new to somebody like myself and others. This great city is moving forward when it comes to construction and innovative. You can look downtown and see that this city is moving forward. You know, we're doing a lot of big things. Businesses are coming in from all over the world. But when it comes to mass transit, I'm getting people from California, I'm getting people here from all over the world. And they say you all are eons behind time when it comes to your fare boxes when it comes to you all still having transfers. I ride the bus all over the world, and we're the only ones that still, well, one of the few that still use transfers. I got tons of safety reports here from drivers that's getting cans thrown at them and spit on and what have you. But prudently speaking, sometimes when you're talking to a board such as yourself, you have to talk dollars as well as a safety issue when it comes to us. Again, like I was saying, some of the things that were already mentioned about the dollars, okay, it would seem prudent that a board such as yourself would consider the fact that these transfers are losing the county $10,000 a day in revenue. A transfer is good for an hour and 20 minutes. An individual comes on, gets a transfer, you can get anywhere in the city within about 30 minutes. Okay, so we give an hour and 20 minutes. That 30 minutes it might have took to get to Brookfield, that transfer is handed on to about three more people. It's being abused. So you look at the $10,000 you're losing in revenue there. You also look at property taxes. It's a well-known fact that some of our fares incorporated through property taxes. When you have an increase in revenue due to the eliminating of transfers, that also will either stay or reduce property taxes. So we ask that, when I'm not here to ask that, when we leave here, you all consider, you know, the options of whether or not we should get rid of the transfers. I'm asking that when we leave here, you all say, you know what, let's just get those guys out of our way. We don't have to see them anymore. It's a win-win. Let's, as of January 1st, stop printing transfers, because you've seen the news. Every channel, you're seeing us getting assaulted. You know, there's been at least three drivers that I know have had their careers ended because of this. And again, if we're moving forward as a city, one of the first steps has to be to stop printing transfers. And then later on, we'll work on fare boxes and whatnot. And this is what we ask as a union.
Thank you.
All right, Linda.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and County Supervisors. The things that haven't been talked about are the people that are being physically assaulted and the cost that it costs this county board for workers' comp claims. It's starting to mount up very, very largely, and the claims that Mr. Grant is giving us on the cost of switching over to a day pass are very much exaggerated. If you're getting rid of a paper transfer, you're getting rid of a cost. That cost is being replaced with the day passes. A one-way ride, and that's what the dollar fare is. It's a one-way ride. People have to decide if they have to make more than one change. They're going to get a day pass and therefore use that pass all day. They're not as willing to hand it off to somebody out on the street if they need that pass later on. These are all things that they're not addressing when they're talking about the cost and how much money extra it's going to cost them. I don't believe their numbers. I think they're just blowing smoke like they always do. And we need, I don't know if we have to have somebody independent from the people that are running the transit system to do a study, but clearly these numbers are just very skewed. Being a person that was assaulted three times and spat on many times, it's very degrading and disheartening that we have to go out there and put our bodies on the line, and if we act out in any way to try and protect ourselves, we get disciplined. So It's just not a fair way to treat our members. And I think that we need a change. If come January 1st, maybe try a sample, maybe 6 months or something, with using an all-day pass and see what the reaction is, rather than just come out with numbers off the top of Dan Bame's head and tell us, you know, that's the truth.
Okay, thank you.
Okay?
Thank you.
Thank you, County Board. Exactly, if you actually want to see how these transfers are being used, I recommend you just stand on 27th Street and actually see how it's working. I drive to 27th, and I have a man ride there sometimes, and he tells me he makes about $75 a day off the transfers. You get off one bus, here you go. He begs for transfers, so all he do is sell it to somebody else for a dollar. If you go to the grocery stores, now our tickets are used for food. You could take a ticket, and a student could basically take a 99-cent soda and give the store the ticket. I have seen it. I seen it this morning when I was at the store. They actually doing this. Right now, is actually being passed as money. You're talking about this so-called security we have. You remember last year we tried to take the control out of MC Test and put it to the sheriffs because of liability. We have officers that has been discharged because they have done a job. We don't need them if they can't protect us and they can't protect themselves. It makes no sense. It's not our problem that the company took 2 years to buy something. If this is, you know, something that makes sense, I got a plane I want to sell you that I'm going to deliver to you 2 years from now. At the cost, I would give me a consultant to basically get him to go look for it. That made no sense either. When you have mechanics, drivers that deal with the machines all the time, could have picked three machines. You talking about waste of money? That consulting was waste of money. But like the president said at one time, we're not making them. We just use them. We deal with them every day. So a lot of stuff the company's talking makes no sense. We have been arguing about this for a long time. And some of this stuff, I hate to say it, I blame on the county board because y'all let the company get away with the crap they get away with. Thank you.
C. Smith. C. Smith. Sharita.
Again, thank you for having us here this morning. The comments that I wanted to make today, again, are pretty much a piggyback on what my fellow colleagues have stated today. Driver assaults, verbal abuse, misuse of paper transfers is out of control. Security issues that we have with this, our security and our safety, as well as the security and safety of our passengers, that's number one. There have been incidents on buses where a passenger would get on and pay a fare. They receive a paper transfer from their driver. Someone maybe getting off of the bus will snatch that transfer and run off the bus. So now that passenger that paid their fare, expecting to get a paper transfer, got one, but now has maybe been pushed or injured because someone else wanted this piece of paper. The misuse of transfers is out of control. We see that on a daily basis. Safety-wise, after 1 o'clock a.m., there are no route supervisors available for us. There are no transit security available for us. So if there's a situation, we have to rely on contacting our dispatch, if our phone system is working properly on the bus, to then have them contact MPD or the local sheriff's office to get us assistance. So when you have misuse of paper transfers and fares and security, again, not only for the drivers, but as well as our passengers is at play, something needs to be done about this. If, as a driver, we challenge the fare as we are requested to, and as there have been memos posted, you challenge or request a fare once only. If that individual does not have it, you still let them ride. There have been members of management that have said, well, I don't care if they show me a library pass or if they put a Chuck E. Cheese token in the fare box. Give them a transfer anyway. But if we're riding, we challenge a fare, or if we don't challenge a fare, then our rule book states that because we did not challenge a fare, we are now subject to discipline. So the paper transfers are something that definitely I'm asking humbly before the county board that you take a serious look at this and evaluate this issue for us as well as our passengers and riders, and hopefully that something can be done before the end of 2013. Thank you all very much.
My name is Vicki, and I've been an operator at Milwaukee County Transit for almost 29 years. Next month, it'll be 29 years. I've had my transfers taken 3 times. I'm really lucky to be here because the last time I was operating my vehicle, I am very emotional about this, excuse me. I pulled up to the stop. A young man got on. And we usually close the door behind the last passenger. He got on the bus. I closed the door. He snatched my transfers. When he turned around to run and realized the door was closed, he pulled a large butcher knife, like you would use in the kitchen to cut up chicken or something, from his clothing, turned around and lunged at me and told me to open the door, which, of course, I did. He ran away, and I drove away and called the dispatcher. You know, 5 minutes later, maybe the supervisor arrived, and 5 minutes after that, security arrived. But I couldn't help thinking to myself that he could have snatched my life as quickly as he had snatched those transfers. There was no one there to protect me. You can get around the shield if you need to. Like I said, this is the third time. You talked about the video. That video went nationwide. CNN picked it up. My son, 900 miles away in Georgia, is calling me, Mom, what's going on? What the hell is happening in Milwaukee on the bus? You know, is it safe for you to drive? Maybe you need to quit your job. I also had 2 children at home still at the time. I'm a single working mom. I've been working since I was about 14 years old. When I started this job, it was a good job, and I felt comfortable enough to continue it. But, you know, it's hard to have to drive down the street, negotiate traffic, deal with your passengers, and be in fear to do your job. And that's what these transfers mean. In the morning now, when I pull a bus out, I am required to carry 8 pads of transfers. In a pad of transfers, there are 50. So that means I'm carrying 400 transfers. If you sell each one for $1, it's like I'm carrying $400. Some drivers carry 5 books. That's 10 books. That's $500. How many robberies, how many people have been killed for less than that? So that's what I'm required to carry every day because of this paper transfer. And to me, it's ridiculous. I also ride all over the country. I'm proud to be a Milwaukee County Transit bus driver. I believe in transportation. I ride the bus. I don't see this other places that I go, Las Vegas, Florida, Texas. You know, it just doesn't make sense to me. And when they talk about cost, what is the cost of a working mother? What is the cost of a human being? This is ridiculous.
Thank you.
Thank you.
At work. Cassandra Pop. Okay.
wanted to say has really already been said, but I want to give you this thought. When I pull up to a bus stop and I see two or more people out there already, I don't pull all the way up to the stop. I'm in the stop zone, but I pull up close enough to the beginning of that shelter. People are going to get off my bus. And you watch who's getting off, giving those people transfers. I see this all the time. You might get one person, two or three people, passing off transfers to other people. And I watch them. Those people get on my bus that got the transfers. And they, you know, get on my bus like they had the transfer already. And sometime I say, it don't work like that. Some of them will feel guilty and they'll put their money in that they had initially in their hand or a ticket. And then recently one person I saw that happen to. And it was a younger person. I said, you just got that transfer from someone that got off the bus. And he totally denied it. Well, I'm not going to get hit. That was my one time of, you know, asking him for fare, actually, in that way. He knew what he did, and I know what I saw. And I'm not going to get hit. A lot of us is just not going to get hit out there if we can avoid it. Sometimes you see a crowd out there, you don't say anything. Nothing. Thank you.
Scott Tate. Sally?
Sally, please don't take me.
Oh, okay. Hey. Richard Olson.
First, I'd like to say thanks for coming and listening to us. Our concerns are about the transfers. And when a driver is assaulted, he could be off of work a week, 2 weeks, a month. How many transfers does that cost the company? Like the young lady said before, who has 29 years there, when we drive the bus, we could have 10 pads of transfers. And if they are worth 2.25 each for a ride, that's $1,200 or more. And we got to carry them every time we go to the bathroom. Every time we leave the bus, we are supposed to take it with us. And that's a risk of our safety carrying that stuff. And nowadays, it's time to get rid of transfers because it's causing more problems than what it's worth. And the goal of the company is to have everybody buy passes. So we got passengers that they might take the bus 3 times a week. Well, they'll pay the fare. They'll put whatever they have to do into the thing every day. They save money. And the other people that ride it 20, 30, 40 times a week, they will go to the passes. So, you know, we'll be pushing them to the passes more than we will the money. So, you know, it just makes sense. And I'd like to thank everybody for listening to us, and I hope you do the right thing. Thank you.
Alvin Bates, Sr. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Grant, Mr. Jewell, please come back with more questions.
Mr. Chairman, I'm not certain at this point if our route supervisors are in fact off duty at 1 a.m. Typically, we do operate till about 3, but that is probably correct. Our security officers operate from about 6:30 a.m. till 1 a.m. And I'll qualify that by stating that we only have a handful of security officers to cover 325 buses. And so as a result, you know, we focus their time and attention strategically, if you will, on those times of the days where of the day and week where the problems are in fact occurring, both time of day as well as a route. So we have a limited number of resources to work with, and as a result, that limits the times of the days where the time of the day where they can be available.
Mr. Brett, would you please for the committee members list off the incident report for the last month and the times of the incident reports so we can see what actually was going on with incidents? You have to pay for trash or stealing, people get on their buses. Any incident with the driver or on their bus, can you send an email to all the committee members?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I can do that. And just to be clear, because that can be provided in a number of different formats, are you asking for incidents related to fare disputes?
We have, yes, there's one right there. We're going to get it. Mr. Walker, we see it. We see it. So I will make sure I talk to you a bit more. Senator Murkowski.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. First, to the gentleman who took a shot at the county board, that was a legitimate complaint that you had, sir, because we are all frustrated at how slow this process has gone. And I guess I want to start with my first question is, gentlemen, why is this taking, now we're gonna spend the entire 2013 having to, why is this taking so long? I've been on this committee a while now, and it seems like this has just been ongoing. I mean, can't we pull the trigger here and get this done?
Mr. Chairman, committee members, at this point, you know, we've had discussions with the contractor that was awarded the contract, and there's simply no way to speed up the process. We spent about a year getting the specification developed, as well as going through the request for a proposal process. That included, because we're talking about a very complex system, bringing prospective bidders here to Milwaukee, allowing them time to tour our facilities to have a full understanding of what we were asking them to bid on, as well as a number of addendums meeting DBE requirements. All of that took about a year. We awarded the contract, I believe, in April. When was that, June of this year?
It's around July.
Around July of this year. And the bidder has indicated that it will take 12 to 18 months to develop and produce the system. And we're they've committed to a fast track for us to have the system fully installed by year end 2013. And that's assuming that there are no hiccups, if you will, or complications during the next 12 to 16 months.
Well, I'm not going to use this time to debate you, Mr. Grant, specifically, but I will tell you that it has been a lot longer because this has been before this committee numerous times. And I guess what's disappointing is the lack of sense of urgency, okay? And so these bus operators, this is not the first time that they've come before this committee. Okay. It's not the first time that they've called individual supervisors. It's not the first time that we've read about incidents. And so that lack of sense of urgency is troubling to me. I, for one, and I'd like to think that I speak for my colleagues, will not tolerate another year of this. Also, but my point is, I am demanding that you all find a bridge to get us through to when the system is in place. Now, if that means, you know, some temporary things, if that means, you know, and I don't profess to know the work and all this kind of thing, but you know, I look at the transfer cost versus the day pass cost, and I'm being told here that it's a half a million dollars. That seems rather exorbitant. There has got to be ways to make this work. And, you know, I'll throw one thing out. It might be controversial, and shame on me if it is, but can't we do something regionally? If cost is an issue as far as you know what we're doing, then we've got certain areas of this county that can be targeted for not having the transfers versus other areas. Now, I realize if you're going to start printing, you might as well print them all. But my point is that, you know, Mr. Chairman and committee members, I'm demanding that we come up with some suggestions here. I'm not going to put up with this for another year, and they shouldn't have to.
Yeah.
And, okay. So, you know what? I guess, Mr. Chairman, I'd like to ask, what is the exact cost here? Are these real numbers here? Are you talking that this is a $500,000 difference between the transfer printing and the day pass printing?
Yes, those are accurate numbers, Mr. Supervisor. Let me just give an example of the paper transfer.
I pass Mr. Grant's copy.
I'll refer you to the paper transfer that we currently use.
Yeah.
The advantage of this transfer today is that it's a time-limited pass.
Yeah.
And therefore, it's less prone to duplication because it's only valid for about an hour and 19 minutes. If we were to sell this pass through our ReadyFare outlets, the problem of abuse or misuse by customers, we estimate, will rise substantially. The reason for that is because this pass is nothing more than a thin piece of paper with some ink on it. So it can be duplicated. You sell this pass in advance to the public, then it's going to lead to counterfeiting and duplication. So in order to counter that, the cost that we have built into our estimations are to add the security features to these passes in order to make them less counterfeitable.
Okay. I'm not able to debate that point, but we have a printing process out at the House of Correction. Okay. You know, and I'm not saying that we all need bells and whistles. We need to get through 2013, and this gap is not acceptable. $500,000 is just I don't believe it. And I'm going to ask you all to come back and find some other ways to shave that cost down. Because, and I guess, gentlemen, telling me if the cost the reason that we're not going to day passes for next year?
No, we're not. Supervisor, certainly cost is a factor that we've attempted to make this committee aware of, but there are numerous factors. One I should mention to you, you know, for example, we're into the fall season, so which we refer to as our fall pick. That runs through the end of the year. So we've already printed the paper transfer slips through the end of the year in order to accommodate the service that is currently scheduled.
I'm not concerned about that.
Okay. Most likely, the earliest that we could implement, for example, an all-day pass with the paper transfer slips would be January of 2013, probably as late as April. A challenge that we would have before us, and that would be a very immediate challenge, is that we are in the heart of replacing a 26-year-old fare collection system for the transit system. And probably around April or May of next year, we need to begin the process of educating the public on the new system that is going to be coming on board later that fall, later that winter. It's very difficult to educate the public on one change while you're trying to do another change at the same time. It will lead to confusion amongst the public. So it's very difficult to try to do two things at one time. Now, I'm not suggesting to this committee that these are not things that we cannot do. You know, as your contractor, we're simply trying to provide you with our best recommendation as to what are the disadvantages of these alternatives. But I'm not suggesting that they're not doable. But we do feel that it is our job to make you aware of what problems we will likely face if we were to go down this road, while at the same time trying to bring on board a totally new system that will be new to the entire public.
So what about the system?
I guess what is discouraging to me, Mr. Grant, is that I get no sense of a can-do attitude. And that's all I'm asking. I don't think that that's asking a lot. You all seem to have your mind set that this is the way it's going to be, come hell or high water. So I guess my final thing is, when we have incidents that are broadcast by a newspaper and the media, sure, we read them and hear about them. Whatever happens when there's convictions, I mean, there should be as much of an exploitation of the issue as there should be of the resolution. If somebody is convicted, I want to see that person's name in the paper or talked about or whatever. And I'll take it even one step further, that if we know when these punks or whoever these people are that are assaulting our drivers are going in front of our judges at the courthouse, at the very least, some of us could write letters to the judge, or at least show up in court and let them know that this is a very serious matter. And I don't know why these culprits, these punks, seem to be getting, in essence, a free pass. I mean, and I think it's high time that all of us change that kind of awareness that you want to engage in something like this and you get caught. We're coming down with the hammer. But I don't see that right now. So, Mr. Chairman, I've rambled enough.
Supervisor.
Thank you. First of all, I want to tell the drivers, I have heard you. I've listened. And I think this is at least the third time that we've dealt with the transfer issue. In my opinion, the transfer use should be disconnected, taken away, divorced from the issue of the new fare boxes. You need to solve that problem. I did hear the complaint, as did my colleague, about the board not listening, and I think we're guilty of that. Now, we have representatives from the administration here. This is a real issue, instead of trumped-up issues, for you to take back to administration. This needs to be addressed. Don't bring a budget to the board that has paper transfers in it for next year. I hear you. Those transfers, by the way, should be sent to the Historical Society. They look like antiques. They look like antiques. And this is an issue this entire community needs to get involved in. When I read in the paper that we're sending $5 million to the Bradley Center, and last time we used $5 million to buy a new scoreboard, and we're ignoring a major issue like transit that continues to sit there and rot away without solutions, this community has its priorities in the wrong order. And I want the administration to start paying attention to that. The board has the power of the purse, and we will use it next budget. You've heard that from me. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is yes. So, according to MCTS's findings, moving to an alternative system, not the transfers, an alternative that varies significantly from its present form would, according to these reports, it would cost the system revenue. And, of course, we do not want MCTS to lose any revenue, nor riders. That is true. However, I think this report is a quality example of an old industry tactic. It's not just the computer industry where I came from, but all kinds of industries, called fear, uncertainty, and doubt. That if they dare make a change, dire consequences shall befall us. Now, in my opinion, Mr. Chairman, this report looked at some narrow possibilities, twisted them a bit, and then rejected them. You know, I have heard comments that the public would not be able to adapt to these sudden changes, as they would have to be at this point, hopefully. But, you know, the public, the riding public, had to learn the new express bus system with very short notice. And I believe they had it down within a few weeks. I rode frequently during that time, the transition into the new express bus system, and I was impressed that within days, even, the number of questions I heard from riders getting on board went from, say, frequent to infrequent, and then rare, and soon not at all, unless they're a totally new rider. Now, this report examines drops in fare prices with a simultaneous elimination of paper transfers. That is what the drivers want, for sure. Now, I'd like to ask, was a price drop to $2 that still kept the paper transfers, was that examined? It was not mentioned in that report. I recognize the need of the operators represented in force here today. They want to get rid of the transfers, and I do too. That said, I want to examine any and all options that we have here. Now, the bus drivers have been dealing with paper transfers, and they bring with them these regular assaults. Those costs of those assaults on our operators were not mentioned by Mr. Grant, nor was the cost of transfer fraud, which we've heard from the operators. He does not address the cost of insurance, health care, the psychological costs to the individual operators, the bus drivers, who were assaulted and battered. Mr. Chairman, are we willing to put up with this until these new fare boxes are in place?
If you ask me, the question is no. But since you asked me the question, I'm asking the question. If you notice, the last 2 months, we've been asking where is the they had a surplus, I would call it, you can tell. And if we had the surplus, we could use that surplus for transit. Since we have $500,000 gap, that surplus can relate the passes that we have at the present moment. So we will leave the transfers and we'll go to a day pass. But I have not got the information to this date. But it's a surplus. Is it $3.5 million? Is it $1.7 million? There's a surplus, but we have not got the information. So when you talk about revenue, and we already have a surplus, we have the money to find a solution. But we don't know what it is. I'm sorry talking from the chair, but you asked me a question. So, Mr. Pauls, you have the floor.
And thank you for the display of good form, Mr. Chair. Now, so the new fare boxes apparently will be in place. Our first heard is October 2013. Now it's become late 2013. Six of one, half a dozen of the other. But this brings me to my questions. The first one is slightly facetious. Do we currently have people on the street with laptop computers, scanners, and color inkjet printers that are they are standing there ready to duplicate these future paper, these day passes, if this is what they become? I personally have not seen them just yet, but they could be hiding around the corner. You know how those people are. I beg your pardon, Mr. Chairman. Now, on much, much more serious notes, first, how will having this new smart card system, how will that undo this underground economy that has been built up through the illegal use of transfers? Will these smart cards eliminate that? How will they change it? I imagine they can have an effect. They will have an effect. I'd like to know more specifically how so. Second, in your reports, which was issued to the committee, the $2 fare predicts a loss in ridership but an increase in revenue. Please explain that. And fourth, the paper transfers, as you kindly informed us, have already been printed for the remainder of the year. Now, as we addressed in an earlier item, we're having a six-month trial with the change to Route 51, which I do thank you for making possible. So, why don't we have a similar trial period? sell these transfers as day passes. Not, I appreciate the conjecture, the thought that went into making these, but, you know, sell these. I mean, surely, we probably have the technology to make these instantly dissolve the second they get handed to a different person, right? We can do these things, right? No. But seriously, I beg your pardon, your colleagues. We can do trials, right? We can try things. We can experiment. We can... Oh, is that a dangerous word? I apologize for saying experiment. You know, this is a serious matter, and I should not treat it very lightly, but I, too, have not heard a great willingness to explore options and possibilities. And knowing MCTS's rather conservative approach, their reluctance to change is predictable. And so I do thank you and your staffs for their time, Mr. Grant. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
There are four questions that I also want to ask you. You have to answer all those four questions.
It's just difficult to keep up with the questions, Mr. Chairman, but let me try to address some of them. With respect to how the smart card will eliminate the underground economy, certainly there's no dispute that there's misuse of the paper transfer slips. You know, I think one of the speakers mentioned that people have been passing paper transfer trips for over decades. People were passing paper transfer slips when I was in high school, right, junior high school, right here in Milwaukee. So that's not news, but it is a problem for our drivers, and we agree with that. The smart card will
don't interrupt.
The smart card will certainly eliminate the paper transfer slips. So, we would anticipate that misuse and that lost revenue that certainly occurs should either go away or at least be minimized as a result of using the smart card so that individuals are no longer passing those paper slips between one another. There was a question asked to, I believe the supervisor was speaking to the report, as to how do we get to the point where ridership may be decreasing but revenue increases. In our projections, I mentioned earlier that about 19,000 individuals ride the bus each day, either paying by cash or inserting a ticket into the fare box. We estimate that about 5% of those riders will be lost. Because the effect for them is that each time they board the bus, they will need to pay cash again or put another ticket in the fare box. We also estimate that there will be an increase in ridership simply because individuals who do not necessarily need to transfer twice or three times or four times, that only need to ride the bus once to a direct route, the dollar fare, for example, would be very advantageous for them. So we expect there to be a decrease in ridership on one side and an increase in ridership on the other side. The outcome is that we would expect to see some level of increased revenue for the system, if that helps answer the supervisor's question.
Okay. Thank you. Before I have Mrs. Simone speak, any other supervisors have one? So, let's go. Mr. Bowen, you want to speak also?
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have two things. First, I wanted to ask if you, Mrs. Walker, volunteered a written rebuttal to the report, and then the committee could have that distributed. I'd appreciate
it. But I thought she would email it.
Well, if not, if it would be sent to the clerk to be distributed to the committee. Thank you, Mr. Chair. And then, second, on the revenue of the fare analysis, something I've been interested in for a couple of years. Former Supervisor Larson and I had a proposal to do this, $1.75, and eliminate transfers. We had this a couple of years ago in the budget. I think the analysis is helpful because it's something that I've never seen all would increase ridership and at a fair subsidy, so to speak. There's price elasticity here, and it, you know, if you look at it at the extremes, no, it doesn't make sense. We can't do it for $12 million and pick up 5 million riders, but for $1.3 million, we can increase ridership 1.2. I mean, I think there's some tweaks here that are reasonable, particularly if the scenario is that we have a surplus and have some options in front of us. And I guess I'm asking, rather than sort of just rejecting the whole thing, I mean, it's just an information report, but rather than just saying the whole thing is garbage, I think there are some kernels of interest here. I understand the system's desire not to have another thing going on while they're making this big change, but I just think the faster we get away from the transfer, the better. Obviously, we're going to have all kinds of opportunities to play with the fare structure, with the new fare system, and the smart passes, but I think the sooner we get to looking at those alternatives and how, you know, these are all models. These are guesses about how consumer demand is going to react to fare changes. But I think we'd be better off to implement a simpler system now and later layer in, you know, the fact that the smart card can give you the free transfer or the day pass, or, you know, with a limitation on how many times you get charged. You know, they're basically a day fare. Because you're using that smart card. I just think there's, when we get there's unlimited possibilities in terms of how you play with that structure. But the sooner we simplify it to start with, I think the better. And I hope that we look for those options again here in this budget.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My first question is for the director. What is the cost of the day pass? I didn't see that in the report. Will be the estimated cost of the day pass?
Well, are you referring to the paper pass or the continuation of the system paper transfer slip by selling it through our sales outlets?
Right, so if the road we're going down is getting rid of the paper transfers and we instead want to offer a day pass, how much would that cost? What would be the estimate of a all-day pass?
Okay, to produce the pass, the paper pass itself. Okay.
Yeah, the fare for a day pass.
Excuse me, Supervisor.
I'm sorry, I was just indicating that we don't have that model built into this analysis. If you had a $4 day pass, you would have to, that would be a reasonable range, $4 to $5 day pass. You would then have to estimate how many people that transfer today and pay $2.25 would face the option of paying $4.50 or maybe walking to the local store or maybe several blocks to the local outlet to buy that day pass. So, as Supervisor Lipscomb indicated, there would be some assumptions, there would be some estimates. From a practical perspective in the transit industry, day passes are usually priced between 2 and 2.5 times your fare. If you consider the $1.75 reduced fare we have for a ticket, that would put you into the $4 range. If you're looking at the $2.25, it would be a much more expensive day pass. But I think $4 is about right in terms of what a passenger would expect.
Okay. And my other question is, does the report reflect people who take the bus twice? So I think we're looking at the cost of what it would cost one ride or one destination, but are we keeping into account that a majority of those people are going to ride the bus twice because they're going somewhere and then they eventually have to go back to where they came from?
If I may respond to that.
State your name for the record.
Dan Baim, Chief Administrative Officer with the Milwaukee County Transit System. We've looked at various survey data, assumed that a about 50% of passengers have a transfer. That's a reasonable estimate. So in the case of taking a $2.25 fare to $2, Supervisor Haas was inquiring about that. A person that today pays $2.25 that has to transfer would then pay $4. We would lose a segment of those passengers. That would attribute to some of the loss in ridership in that category. At the same time, having a $2 fare versus $2.25 isn't enough, given price elasticities, to encourage additional ridership. So in that example, you would see some additional revenue because a lot of people are paying, not a lot, a small group of people are paying a lot more. They're paying $4. So your projected revenue would increase on an annual basis. Your ridership would drop because there's a segment of those people that will not bear paying $4 and they won't have another option available to them. So they'll find something other than transit. Looking at price elasticities, projections of that nature, looking at the increases in price has a reduction in demand, decreases in price as an increase in demand. We built these models to try to represent and really find that sweet spot where maybe something is practical. But there's risk involved, and I don't want to go on too much longer, but I think we all know those people in the community, those senior citizens that maybe have that $1.10 half fare ticket. They get on the bus, they go to the pharmacy, they get their transfer, they pick up their prescription, they go home. Anything we do to that fare, that person, if we eliminate the transfer, they're going to have to use two tickets. So we've just doubled their fare. We've made things a lot more unaffordable for a small group of people. And even if we go with some of these reduced fare scenarios down to a dollar cash, that's the only way we get into something where they're paying about the same under the future scenario than they are now. So we are being conservative, trying to be protective of a lot of the passengers. Some would get a better deal. Some would certainly pay more, whether it's 100% more or 50% more, significant increases for certain segments of the ridership.
Mr. Chairman, if I can add to that, one of the things that we also try to take in consideration, we use the example in a report that in many cases, an individual that requires two transfers to get to their destination, their costs will likely increase. However, we also consider the fact that there are many customers or passengers that will require three transfers to get from their origin to their destination. And that's largely a result of the fact that over the prior 10 years, the system has actually shrunk. And as a result, we have fewer and fewer direct routes today to destinations than we had 10 years ago. And so we now have a system where many of our passengers are required by necessity to get to and from where they need to go to transfer between the buses. And so that is also adding to the reason why we're seeing more and more transfer slips out there in the system, is because the system has changed over the last 10 years as well.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, but no other questions from the supervisors? Thank you, Mr. Grant. Mr. Simone, do you have a comment?
Thank you, Mr. Chair, supervisors, once again. I just want to say thank you for this meeting. I think I'm optimistic that something will be done on this issue, finally. And I also want to ask that MCTS management be directed to work with, not me as the union president, but with the union members that do drive the buses on a fair structure that would be favorable to the passengers that they pick up on a daily basis. So I just want them to be directed that they need to work with us, our transit advocates. We have transit advocates here also, and their input is so important. As we requested in the past with the fare boxes, with the operators, mechanics, the transit advocates working together, we can make this system grow and we can make it better for everybody. And that is my last request. And again, I just want to say thank you.
Thank you. All right. We're going to take a 5-minute recess for a second. Okay.
problems that we're